Well, can we just pray and then invite Harold to share with us? Say, Lord, thank you. We can trust in you, Lord. Everything else, Lord, can be a bit uncertain, but Lord, there's no shadow of doubt when it comes to trusting you, Lord, to be the one to help us, to see us through, to get us home, ultimately, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you paid the price. It's finished. The job's done. And we bless you, Lord, as we put our trust in what you've done. Lord, that's completed too for us. So, Lord, we ask your blessing as we share our time together, and bless our brother. Lord, grant him your grace and your encouragement. Lord, speak to us through your word. Lord, it's you we've come to meet with, Lord. And so I pray you help my brother, Lord, to share you with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, he is a blessed brother, so over to, we'd better put some light on for him as well, yes. Yeah.
Many months ago, I was asked a question. And the question was this: what has the Lord been doing in your life? Now, I've been, well, I was going to say, I wasn't going to tell you who said it. It wouldn't be right, would it, Bettina? thank you, Lord, for that. But I've been a Christian now for over 80 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Long before some of you were born, even. And at the age of 14, I made a commitment at a church. Nobody talking, if nobody hears what you're saying, is it? And after all, we've come here to give you a message, and the Lord sent me to do it. And that message was to tell you about how he took me and used me as a raw 14-year-old and put me into doing things I never ever dreamt I was capable of doing. That came about at a meeting when we were singing the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." I made that commitment. How I came to do that is another story. And I'm going to be saying that many times this morning, because how can I tell you in 80 years, another 8 years, everything is impossible. But we'll take one step at a time. It really starts off that I was given a Bible by my parents the next year on my birthday, and it wasn't this one, but it was one in the flyleaf they had put the words Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. My God, in whom I trust, is at the end of that verse. And all the way through my 80 years of being a Christian, I've always taken that as my foundation, a God in whom I trust. Now that's quite a lot, isn't it? Really, this story I want to tell you this morning is about how the Lord has used not only me, but Kate as well. When I was ministering at Haddenham, that's, we're talking now about 25 odd years ago and more, Kate came to live in the village. When she walked into the church, we all knew we had somebody who was different. And not only different, I found out later on to be somebody very special. And the church came to find that out as well, a very special person. What we found out as time went on was that she had lost her husband through cancer. I'd lost my wife through cancer, so straight away we had a bond and a connection. She had made a vow she would never marry again. And I had made the vows, well, I'm not going to get married again. And the main reason we made that was because we wanted to be more able to fully devote our lives to serving the Lord. But the Lord had other plans, yeah. As you well know. He brought us together and joined us together in marriage. Now what happened after that is really amazing. Because the Lord took us and started to use us. And what happened was that we moved house 7 times in 6 years after we were married. 7 times in 6 years. And the first move, of course, was in marriage, being married together. And we started moving 2 houses into one. Quite a task. And for 7 years we still had boxes that weren't unpacked, I can tell you.
for a long, long time. But in that time, in that 7 years, and the first move was, of course, joining two houses into one. The second move was when the Lord pulled me out of retirement. And Dennis, there's no such word as retirement. I can tell you that now. The Lord doesn't know it. He doesn't use it. He takes us and uses us instead. Called me out of retirement to pastor the church at Upwell Baptist. In that short time that we were there, we held what's called an Alpha course. Many of you will know about Alpha courses, where you invite people to come to a meal, you show them a video by Nicky Gumbo, you talk about it afterwards, and after a series of these video sessions, you then have what's called a Holy Spirit weekend. We decided as a group to hold our Holy Spirit weekend at Sheringham. Sheringham Christian Endeavour Holiday Centre. No longer there now, so don't look for it. It's been pulled down. Not because of anything we did, but it was no longer fit for purpose, I think. Anyway, we went to this Holiday Centre, which was called the Homestead, by the way. And we went for the weekend, and we had a fantastic time in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit was at work in that group, and things happened there which were amazing. It was a lovely time of worshipping together. During that time we were there, we were asked if we would consider managing the centre the next year. We said, no way, we couldn't do that. That wasn't on our shopping list. Nevertheless, the Lord wouldn't leave it. It kept coming back to us time and time again. In the end, we had to talk about it. And we said, well, we're not enough, the Lord's hand is in all of this, so we better start praying about it. And there are three things we did before we made any decision. There were three things. One was listening to God. We listened to God to see what he had to say about it. Two, we put our trust in him. And three, we obeyed him. Trust in the hymns we've been singing, Dennis didn't know it, but a lot of those are about trust. And that was a theme that we had this morning about placing our trust in the Lord. That time at considering all of this, we then said, well, Lord, is this what you want us to do? So we did put these three things into practice. And in the end, we thought, well, what if we sell our house while we're down at Sheringham? We can look for somewhere to live by the sea on the east coast, which had been something we had been thinking about for a long time. And so we said, Lord, if this is in your will, what we're going to do, we'll put the house on the market and see if it sells. Well, it was January, the middle of winter. Fancy putting a house on the market in the middle of winter. And we put it on the market and we said, it will never sell. It sold in under a fortnight. The Lord's hand was at work. So we had move number three, I think it's move number three, when we went then to Sheringham. We went to this Christian Endeavour Holiday Centre. It was a two-storey building, a very large kitchen, had two great massive ovens. Cake you get in one, could lose cake in one of them. I thought we had one day, but never mind. And we had the task of, in the space of 3 weeks, to find staff who would come and work for the centre, pay them the lowest wage there was going, and that was a difficult job. They only came for 2 or 3 hours a day just to do the basic work, like making beds, cleaning and everything else. The rest of the work was up to us. From 5 in the morning we were up, till gone 11 at night. And in that time we were cooking milk, well Kate was, cooking breakfast, preparing a lunch for them to take out midday, and an evening meal. And each time, of course, there was a lot of work involved in it. At the end, in the evening at 9 o'clock, we had what they called the evening drinks, where they had coffee, tea, etc. After that I'd take them. I was the only one left because Kate shattered by this time. I'd bring all the stuff, mugs and that, back into the kitchen. And then I'd get my Bible, this very same Bible, and take it and walk out of the room where we were staying and go to take an epilogue. And I would say to Kate, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to talk about tonight. And I went, excuse me, the voice is going a bit, I better take a drink, I think.
Yeah, take a drink.
You never know. It's a bad sign, this, you know, you're in for a long sermon. But that was what happened. I went in the evening. Kate couldn't come because she was too tired. And spoke on an epilogue. Now, if you were to ask me what I spoke about, I haven't got a clue. Every time I went, I was thinking about Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And fill it by George E. did. The Lord filled my mouth and spoke to these people. We had letters afterwards telling us how two people in particular from the Midlands had come to spend a week's holiday. They were absolutely spiritually shattered. And they said, you have no idea the time we had with you, how it has helped us and given us a new hope in the future for what lies ahead. The Lord was taking his word and using it. I still can't tell you. It wasn't for me the glory, it's for God to have all the glory in what was happening at that epilogue. But this is how things happened in that time we were there. One of the things that happened was, of course, that we had ministers knocking on the door unexpectedly, completely drained, wanting to be recharged, and they were recharged. We had letters again from them afterwards thanking us so much for what the Lord has shown them to us. And this went on and on. Then there was a lady came with two children and her mother-in-law. And Kate noticed that, well, during the week her husband came once and went. We didn't know what was happening, but obviously there was something not quite right. And the lady was having to wash the children's clothes every evening, ready for them to dry the next day. And Kate offered to wash them. And she took the clothes, she washed them, she not only washed them, she ironed them. Towards that time, the lady, when she picked them up, said, well, thank you for washing them, but I didn't expect you to iron them. And Kate said, when the Lord, he didn't give me only... Go on, you say it. God wouldn't want me to do just half a job. In other words, she told that lady. She received a letter the following week to say how much those words had encouraged her, that her marriage was on the rocks, she was about to end it, and because of what Kate had said, she said, I'm going to give my marriage a second chance. You've no idea how the Lord works in his mysterious ways, in how he takes us and uses us. Not long afterwards, I had a phone call from my daughter to say that the church she went to, there was a lady there who was telling her how she'd been to the homestead at Sheringham and met two nice people. That's us, of course. And she said that how good it helped her. And my daughter just turned to her and said, that's my dad. I like it when your daughter says, that's my dad, isn't it? That's lovely, isn't it? And so it goes on and on. I'm thinking now, what else happened? Of you know?
Went to
Oxford. Oh, that's later on, that is, isn't it? Oh yeah, now we have, the next thing that happened was the summer holidays come along and the schools start cutting, and we hadn't realised how important it was going to be, because it was a two-storey building, it held 60 odd people, and we were having children coming in from Monday to Friday from schools, from an outdoor pursuit centre, the overflow we were taking in, and we were looking after them from Monday to Friday. They came from all walks of life, some had never seen the sea before, and some came from very unruly places, I can tell you, and we had to cope with that. But not only that, we were given a long list of their medication. And some of the medication was, you're not going to believe this child is suffering from stress. We just could not believe what we were reading and seeing. And then, of course, there were those who had diabetes. One young lad, like all young lads, they wanted to go up into the top of the building, don't they, to sleep. And he was up there, he was a diabetic. His friends brought him down early one morning, absolutely white he was, ready to be ready to go into a coma, into what we call a hypo. Kate took him under her wings in the kitchen, got him round and sorted him out, and then when the teachers came in, and he then started to give them a lesson on how to deal with people with diabetes, and by George, they hadn't got a clue what they were doing. And this lad could have been swimming in the sea and not taking all the precautions, and Kate gave them that information. So there again, even through what Kate has with diabetes herself, she was able to give that information to others to help. And this is how the Lord was using us all the time. The time then came, I don't think there's anything else in there, is there? Oh yes, there is one thing. We had a school come from a Church of England school. And every morning I used to, before any meal, I always said grace to give thanks to the Lord for what we were about to eat. And after that first morning breakfast, the teacher said to me, you know, these children will say grace. I said, will they? So we then arranged for a rota, and every meal time one of them stood up and said grace. And I can tell you now, if you were there, it would bring tears to your eyes to hear how these impromptu graces were uttered. It was amazing how those children had been taught. And so the time had then come towards the end of the year when we had to think about where we were going to live. We were faced with a big problem, mainly because the house prices at that time had shot up and up and up and up. Money in the bank had stayed down here. So we were out of order. And we hunted high and low all over Norfolk and Suffolk, never found anywhere. In the end we said, right, we'd better put these three things into practice. What were they? Listening to God, praying, trusting Him, and obeying Him. And this we did. He led us to go to the other side of Skegness, to a village called Hogsthorpe. Unusual name, isn't it? Hogsthorpe. And we thought, well, that's a funny place. Anyway, we ended up there after looking at various places, found this lovely detached bungalow, and after a lot of negotiation, we moved in. That was the next move. And while we were there, we attended the Skegness Baptist Church, which was somewhere 13 odd miles away every week, and got to know the people well, and in the end, they did what you've done, invited me to speak. I don't know whether they thought that was a good idea in the end or not. And you'll find out why in a moment. Because in that time we were there, the Lord had showed us several discrepancies in the church. Things that were happening that shouldn't be happening. And it was on my heart very much to speak about it at this meeting I was going to take. And in the end I said to Kate, and she said, I said to her, well, I don't think I can do this. Then I said a word that I had never used for years. I said, I can't. And then as soon as I said can't, I knew I'd said the wrong word. Because in my early 30s, in the church where I was a deacon and a member, the minister had been telling me what the Lord was going to do with me and use me in the future. And I was saying to him, no way can I do that. And I said to him, I can't do that. He said, Harold, there's no such word as can't. When you say can't, you are saying you won't. And every time the Lord asks me to do something, and I want to say can't, I stop. Even now today, all those years ago, I stopped. And so I said to Kate, and I stopped. So she said, no good, you'll have to do it. I said, I'll think of something else. Now, in all the years I've been preaching, you would think there would be something there at your fingertips, wouldn't you? The Lord switched me off, solid. Nothing would come. Absolutely, my mind went a complete blank. And so in the end, I said, no good, I've got to do it. So time came for the evening service. We were about to walk into the church when Kate said, I'm going to find a seat at the back as near the door as I can get. I thought, this is encouraging. I can tell you what my text was. My text was from the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. And I was saying to the church what was happening to the church, to you and the church, about God's will. And I said, I've been noticing as I checked your church records that the same number of people you had in the church 20 years ago you've still got today. That tells me you're standing still because other churches are going forward, you're being left behind. Where's God's will in all of this? I must admit, I was hitting them a little bit hard. But they needed it. And I'll tell you why. Then on, I said, I've noticed that in the morning you have a lovely church service, crowded people in, with a lot of young people. I said, in the evening, all you've got is a lot of old people like me. And I said, where's the Lord's will in all of this? And then I said, you have a lovely church hall which you open up during the week, inviting people to come in for tea, coffee, sandwiches, cakes. I said, it's lovely. But I said, there's nobody from the church moving amongst those people. I said, I was walking amongst them and I came across three ladies. I said, they come on holiday. One of them was due to have a major operation the following week. And out of the blue, they said to me, will you pray for us? And I said, I've got those three ladies and myself, we got into a holy huddle in the middle of all that crowded room. And I said, we prayed. I said, where's God's will for his church? There should be somebody in there doing his work. The next day, I received a phone call from the church treasurer. Look out. And he said, my wife and I would like to come and see you. So I thought, oh dear. I said, come. I said, you're welcome. Come and have a coffee. They came. Truly came. Opened the door. Warmly shook me by the hand. And the first words he said was, Harold, if you were to start a church here tomorrow, we will be your first two. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is not right. Because all the time I'd been taking that service, or even when I'd been speaking at that church service, there's one thing I forgot to tell you. At the end of that service, half a dozen people came and nailed me before I could get out. And they had said, you shouldn't have said that. That should have been said at a church meeting. I said, I'm not a church member, I'm just the Lord's messenger. And deep down inside me, I was shouting, praise the Lord, somebody's heard, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to take action here. And sure enough, these two people, that morning when they came to see us, started it. And I said to them, well, it's not for me. I said, I'm just the Lord's messenger. I said, it's for you people who've been in the church, you've been there 20 years. I said, a lot more of you as well. I said, it's up to you to do something about it. A year later, we heard from that church to say changes had been made and they were going great guns. So we say the Lord does work, even when we have to challenge it. The time then came for us to move from Hogslaw, mainly because there wasn't the facilities for Kate and her medication. And in that meantime, I had been invited on the minister's fraternal meetings, and I had met some other churches. And one church was at Coningsby. And while we'd been there, I'd seen a house for sale bang opposite the church. And I thought, oh, this looks all right. So again, we came to the three things. Had the word of the Lord, trusted him, obeyed him, and eventually we moved into the house opposite the church at Coningsby. And we thought, well, what are we here for, Lord? There doesn't seem much to do. Then Kate was asked by the church minister's wife if she would give her daughter some Bible lessons. We thought, this is strange. Why can't she have lessons from her own family? And we soon found out there was a rift in the family. Apparently the mother had been getting on to her daughter and saying, you're a bad girl. And she always condemned her, she never praised her. The daughter came, and not only was Kate giving her Bible instruction, but also we were finding out a lot more. There was trouble in the family, there was also trouble in the church. We found out later that we were there just mainly to be a support for the people who were having difficulties. And we still hear from them today, even after all those years. The house where we lived had, or the entrance was through the front door, it had a massive high step. And if you can imagine two steps that went in, one was shallow, one was deep. Kate, you're going to guess now, Kate fell down. Not once, but twice. After the second time, we said, this is no good, we shall have to move. So we started to, and now this time the prayer we did, coming into the Lord, seeking to know him, trusting him and obeying him, came with a difference. It was late Friday afternoon. We'd been discussing all the options of how to find another place to live, or whether we should do that, or go into, or we went in everything you could think of. Till the end we said, it's no good, we've got to think about another bungalow, a bungalow. So Kate said to me, right, she said, I'm going to go into the other room. She said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to leave that room until the Lord gives me an answer. Are you coming? I said, no. I said, the Lord's not listening to me, I'm not coming. That's true, isn't it? Absolutely true. The next morning, which was a Saturday, we had one letter in the post. It was a brochure for a bungalow for sale in March. It wasn't what we would have chosen. It was far more expensive than what we could afford. And I said, okay, it's a waste of time. She said, well, the Lord answered the prayer. I said, right, I said, we'll go. So we made arrangements and we met the man on the Saturday afternoon, the same day as we had the brochure. We saw him, we discussed the price and everything else, and we said, we need to sit in the car and talk about this. What he didn't know was we were praying. Mm-hmm. We in the car, we were praying. And when we finished praying, Kate said, I've got a figure. I said, so have I. What's yours? I said, I'm not going to tell you. So we wrote it down to make sure we weren't pushing each other into a price. And it was exactly the same price. So she said, I don't think he'll take it. So we got out of the car and I spoke to him. I made him the offer and he nearly shook my arm off. I wish I'd do off the left. But that's how it went. And then the next day he came back and he said, the other one I told you about, he said it needed a new part, it's obsolete, I can no longer get it. He said, what I'll do, he said, I'll either put a new cooker in for you or not, £1,000 off the price. What would you do? You'd take £1,000 off the price, wouldn't you? Which is what we did. And that's how the Lord blessed us there. We moved into that place. We're getting on to several moves by now, I've forgotten how many. But while we were there, it was too far out of town, really, for Kate couldn't walk it, and I was beginning to struggle. You find us, Dennis, as you get older, you can't do it. And so we said, no good, we left the cell, and what we'll do is we'll look for something else while it's on the market. In the meantime, we had some friends from Haddon, Christian friends, who had said, if you're stuck to somewhere to live, you can come and live with us while you find somewhere to go. So we put it on the market fairly well, I suppose, with a bit of insurance behind it. I came back from golf one morning, hadn't been long on the market, and Kate said, I've had a man come round today who said, told me, he said, I'm going to buy your house, don't sell it to anybody else, I'm coming in. And within the next week before we'd even sold it to him, he was doing the garden, digging it up and coming on. So I thought, well, this is great. So he said, oh, can you move? I said, yeah, we've got... I said, don't worry about us, we can move. And we did. We moved to these people at Haddon, and we were there about 3 months actually. And while we were there, we were hunting around. And in the end, we found we had a brochure come through. But before we had the brochure, the story is that while we were there, they, in their prayer time, they'd been given a vision that we would move the other side of the water, and it would be something connected with laurels. The Victor's Brief. We found that there was Meeple. We found in Meeple there was a circular piece of houses, and it was called Meeple Close, I think, Laurel Close. So what we did, we then put into practice the seven walks around Jericho. You know the story, don't you? How people walk around the walls of Jericho. So we thought, well, if we walk around here. And every day we went on the Monday, I walked away, Kate did for about three times, and then she had it. She had to sit in the car and pray while I did the rest. And on the last day, the seventh day, I walked around seven times while Kate prayed. While I was walking around, somebody came out and said, are you all right? Are you lost? And I said, well, we just left it at that. Anyway, we had in the post this brochure for this bungalow at Haddon, where we're living now, and we went and saw it. It needed an awful lot of work doing to it, and it was far more than what they were asking for. We needed quite a bit of money to spend on it, so we made allowances. We made an offer to the estate agent there and then. She said, they'll never take it, she said, because there's four children, two want to sell, two don't. They want the biggest price. She said, they've been turning down the end of offers. So well, that's it, we haven't got it. So we went, drove off. Before I'd gone half a mile, my mobile phone rang, estate agent, they've accepted your offer. The Lord's hand was at work in every move we made, every decision we made was done with the Lord's blessing, and his hand was upon it. So when I think about that 80 years of being a Christian, how the Lord has taken and used not only me but Kate as well, joined us together as one when we said we would never marry, how he took us and used us to further his kingdom, giving us jobs we would never dreamt of doing. And we're not taking any glory for any of it. It's all glorious to the Lord for how he took us and used us. How he put words into our mouths, gave us the health and the strength and the energy to do what we thought was impossible. And so that is how Bettina said to me, how has the Lord used you? That's what he did, Bettina. Bless you. Thank you very much.